which, you know, a la Apple, that they haven't had in the past, but they have now.
Pete says Samsung is sending out boxes that are able to withstand extreme heat, so you can return your Samsung 7 without risk of setting the shipping box on fire.
Right.
I'm like you. I feel bad for them because they have a good product. I've had a number of Samsung phones. With me, it's either Samsung or Apple. I like them both a lot. I think they put out good products. Although right now I'm on an Apple trend. So
yeah, I like the iPad, and I use an iPad regularly. Mm-hmm. This is a pretty nice phone. This is the new HTC X10. And I use that also to talk about when people want to talk about high-res audio,
mm-hmm.
which is for the golden ears guys and gals, you know, gets all the nuance and the tapestry and all the other stuff that the
Does it sound like an LP?
About. That's what they say. You know, when they took... when they
What's an LP?
Yeah, exactly. Vinyl is final.
That is amazing. Yeah. It's a good-looking phone, too.
So both that phone and these are capable of high-res audio, which basically uses all the ones and zeros to get back to where we were in high fidelity back in the 70s.
Yeah, I always crack up because I remember I was working in a store that sold electronics, and one of the salesmen was talking about CDs to me. He says, "Vinyl's done. Vinyl's finished. These things, they're indestructible. They're, you know," and right. He took one and he whacked it on the countertop, you know, and he says, you can't destroy these like you can a record." And he's going on and on and on about it. And then several decades later, we're going, "Boy, I sure do miss vinyl." You know, he overestimated the potential of the CD.
Right. And vinyl hasn't gone away. You know, it's a niche now, an interesting niche, you know,
yeah.
Turntabling, rappers, all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
It's absolutely astonishing.
Oh, my son rediscovered it.
I'm going to move closer.
Yeah, I just want to have it tilted straight at
right.
you instead
right.
of pointed up.
Yeah.
My son rediscovered it when he was in college and stole my turntable and stole my record collection.
Yeah, we still have... some records. I had the same thing with my daughter. And although the turntable went to a friend's daughter long before my daughter was ready for it.
Kids.
What's the matter with kids today?
Yep. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later on today's show, we'll hear about Students Together Assisting Refugees in the group's upcoming concert. Joining me first in the studio is the Consumer Technology Association's digital answer man, Jim Berry. With the rapid pace that new technology devices are coming out these days, it's tough to keep up with all of it. So Jim is here with a look at the latest in high-tech products and to answer your questions about the newest gadgets and devices. If you have a question for Jim, give us a call at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Jim, good to see you today.
Nice to be back with you, Mark.
Jim, before we start looking at all the devices that you brought with you, tell us a little about the organization that you represent, the Consumer Technology Association.
The Consumer Technology Association, formerly the Consumer Electronics Association. A lot of folks probably know them best as the producers every January of the big Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. See a lot of coverage. You guys cover it. Everybody covers it. That's where everybody comes from all around the world to see the latest stuff, what's new in consumer technology. It's really the center of the digital universe. 175,000 people from all over the world. And this is a trade show. It's not open to the public. So it's really remarkable when you have that many people there to see all of the new stuff. So that's been going on for 50. This is actually going to be the 50th anniversary. It started in 1967. So this is really cool. So that's probably what it's best known as for. But CTA does lots of other stuff, does lobbying in Washington, does a lot of
consumer. And you're a nonprofit group, right?
Oh, it's a nonprofit organization. Yeah, it does a lot of research on behalf of both its members, over 2,000 members, as well as research on the part of consumers. So it does all of that kind of stuff. But you're right, it is a nonprofit organization.
Jim, so what have you brought with you today?
Well, I brought a lot of cool stuff. And again, it's because, you know, we're getting in close to the holiday season. And we just did one of the surveys that the research folks did was to find, this is the 23rd annual holiday survey, what people said they're going to buy and whether they want technology. And of course, technology, 9 out of 10 people who are buying Christmas or holiday gifts are going to buy technology. And one of the interesting things I found was I said, 23 years, what did we have when we started this back in the 90s? Because this year at the top of the list, you've got tablets, smartphones, TVs, video game consoles. Back in the mid-90s, you had things like color TV was still a big deal. You had CD-ROM drives. You had VCRs. So that's kind of stuff that you might as well have been asking for a Victrola when you think about some of this stuff. It's really remarkable.
A lot of shifts over the years.
Right, yeah. Right. The other thing, and I brought a few things in here that really represent this, I think, because those things that are at the top of the list that I mentioned, TVs, they've been a big family gift for 50 years. You've got video game consoles, and they're in the midst of a kind of a resurgence with we're probably 6 or 7 years into the eighth generation of video game consoles with the
it's hard to believe.
Yeah, when you think about the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4, and they've just reintroduced some new kind of mid ones in both of those, and the Wii, of course, from Nintendo. But also this year, in addition to those and smartphones and tablets, what you have are these emerging categories, things like wristbands, fitness wristbands, and smartwatches. And we're both wearing a Fitbit. I also wear
it. Mine's a first generation. That's how long I've had mine.
Right, right. Well, this is the Alta. This is newer. And one of the interesting things I found about these is that the fitness wristbands are moving towards the watch. They have now a watch on them. And the smart watches, this is the Apple Watch, they're moving towards the fitness elements of the wristband as well. So they're doing a little bit of both.
So, Jim, are these products, these fitness bands and watches, are they really catching on?
They are. And, you know, it's been about 2 years or so. And, again, they show up on the wish list this year for the second time, I guess, and I think the smartwatches, the jury's still out on that, on how big it's going to be. A lot of people thought, well, when Apple comes out with a watch, it's going to be as big as the iPhone.
It's going to go gangbusters.
Well, it has gone well, but nothing like what we thought. And there's lots of other choices, whether it's Fossil or Pebble or Samsung or LG, lots of other choices for smartwatches. And also for the fitness elements of that, like Jawbone and Fitbit and some of these others. One of the other things that I found really interesting this year that's starting to show up are these voice recognition, virtual reality type of devices. And I brought in here the Alexa. It's the Echo. I call it Alexa because that's the voice in there is Alexa. And you say, hello, Alexa. I'd like to listen to some Rolling Stones. And from the Amazon playlist, what do you want to hear? You want to hear, you can't always get what you want. You can get that. You can ask it the weather. You can do all the things that some of us are familiar with from Siri on an iPhone.
So you can even ask it certain questions.
You can ask it questions and you'll get answers. You can also connect it to your smart home devices, whether it's a smart thermostat or the lights to turn on the lights and turn off the lights. So you can do that with voice recognition. So, you know, going back to, as I mentioned, some of the early days of this transition to digital technology and also to the real expansion of the consumer technology marketplace that goes back around 40 years or so, making things easier to do, things we all want to do, but making them easier. Start with the VCR. I want to watch what I like my programs. I like Kojak, and I like, for you kids, that's a show in the 70s, and I like Charlie's Angels.
They tried to remake it, too. It didn't
exactly.
go as well.
But yeah. I can't, that's my bowling night, you know? So, well, a VCR let you tape it, and you can watch it whenever you want. So watching what you want, when you want, you know, that's now not only when you want, but where you want all of this now in much better technology and much better picture quality. So those are the kinds of things. But when you start talking about voice recognition, that's the ultimate in simplicity. Hey, Alexa, or okay, Google. Google's just introduced a product much like this. You have for Microsoft in their phones and other devices, Cortana, which is their kind of voice recognition as well. So I think ultimate in simplicity, don't have to worry about what buttons to hit or any of that. Just talk to it and it will talk back to you.
How far away can this device hear you, Joe?
Well, across the room easily. You know, I haven't done a test on how far away. Typically, you would be in the same room with it. So, you know, you can, I would say, 25 feet or something like that. I don't know what the exact distance is. But this uses Bluetooth technology. It serves as a Bluetooth speaker also. So it's, you know, Bluetooth is good up to 30 feet. So I'm sure it's pretty much that, and that it will recognize as well. So it'll be a good test. But I'll tell you one thing. Amazon introduced this about 18 months ago, and it was kind of a soft introduction. You know, they weren't typically introducing products. They weren't in the business. They're more of an online retailer. And the one most recent before this product they introduced was a huge bomb, was their phone. You may remember they had a phone. It was very short-lived, the Fire phone. They've been very successful with their tablets, but the phone was not successful. So they kind of introduced this very quietly, and it's become a huge, huge hit. And as I said, Google just introduced one. I think we're going to see a lot more of it. And this has the potential to be a real game changer because of that simplicity and the multiple uses you can use it for.
And if I understand right, Jim, that this is always upgrading. It's always getting smarter, so to speak.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Again, it's hooked up via wireless to your network, and there's all kinds of upgrades on a regular basis. So this stuff is going to just get better. You know, that's one of the things that voice recognition and artificial intelligence, one of the hardest things to do in computing. Think of all the ones and zeros required to do that and ask it a question and get an answer. That actually has to go someplace and come back in the blink of an eye to get that answer. Same thing with directions that you get on your phone or things like Siri or other artificial intelligence and voice recognition software. It's really astonishing how good that it is and what it can do. So I think we're just at the beginning of this also. It's going to be really interesting.
Well, is this easy for somebody who's not technical? If you're not tech savvy, how tough is this
to use?
That's
the best thing about it. It is just as easy as talking to it and saying a couple of things, and it's got a very easy small instruction booklet, if you will. It's hardly even a booklet. It just tells you to get started, and then it will talk back to you. It will ask you questions. It will get you moving. That's the amazing thing is just how easy these things are to use.
So what about the privacy and security? I mean, if it has microphones in it, I think some people would be concerned that somebody could listen in via those mics.
Well, there you go. That's one of the biggest overarching issues in this whole transition to digital technology and wireless technology and the cloud, and the cloud being this place somewhere else, not literally in the clouds, but really in a huge array of computers somewhere else that's storing all of this information. Privacy and security are the are paramount for most of us. And really, there's two areas where most of us are really have concerns about security and privacy. One is our medical information, and the other is our financial information, both of those things. So there's great privacy stuff built in here. And one of the things that I tell people, because you read every day about somebody, especially big politicians and so forth, getting hacked and the government getting hacked. One thing that I remind people of is to use the basic locks and keys that are available on all of these devices. For instance, this will use your Wi-Fi network you have in your house. You'd be surprised, maybe you wouldn't be, a lot of people are surprised to find out how many people don't use the basic password locks to put on the Wi-Fi in their house so that anybody else can
use it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So use those basics. Use what you have, just like you wouldn't think most of us, depends on where you live, but for most of us, you wouldn't think of leaving the house without locking the door. So when you get this stuff, use the basics, and then you'd have a lot less to worry about.
We will continue our conversation with the Digital Answer Man, Jim Barry. You can join us, 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. My guest this afternoon, the Consumer Technology Association's Digital Answer Man, Jim Barry, here with a look at the latest in high-tech products. You can join us, 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Jim, you're holding something that I have always wanted, my very own personal infrared camera.
I know. I'm actually holding an iPhone, and attached to the iPhone, I have the Seek Thermal. And the Seek Thermal converts the camera on your iPhone.
It plugs into the phone,
and then there's an app for that, as there is for most things. Where's my Seek Thermal app? There it is. So you hit the Seek Thermal app, and as I said, it converts that into an infrared or heat-seeking camera. So some people say, well, what would I use that for? Well, aside from it being pretty cool, and you can, if you're out camping at night, if you're out in the dark at night, you can actually see things in the dark.
You can watch wildlife with this,
can't
you?
See the wildlife.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, I got up this morning here in Cincinnati. It was pretty chilly. Nothing like it was in Boston when I left there yesterday. But we start thinking about tightening up our houses. We take off the screens and put on the storm windows. This is a way to see where the heat is escaping in your house.
Oh, you can check the energy efficiency.
So you can check all the energy efficiency. So you could put this on and see those dollar bills just flying out of the
creases. Maybe you don't want to see that.
In your house, yeah. So what you can do then is you can caulk up and tighten up your house for the winter. So it's called the Seek Thermal. It's a little device that, as I said, plugs right into the lightning port on your iPhone and then converts that into an infrared camera.
Well, and I'd imagine, too, if you have solar panels, that's a great way to check your solar panels.
Sure,
to make sure they're doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Again, it's finding that heat. It's a heat-seeking or a thermal device. So I really like that. It's about $250. There's another company called FLIR, F-L-I-R, that has a case for iPhones that does the same thing, that gives you the same effect. It's about the same price. So it's a little different. It's a case rather than an attachment that goes on your phone.
I'd have to think, too, as a safety device, a personal safety device that would come in handy.
Yeah.
If you forbid it, you know, if you get caught in a fire in your house, mm-hmm. it could help you find your way out.
Really, that's a really interesting point, that all of these devices that come out for some such, you know, a particular reason, somebody invents it or comes up with it, other folks, once it's in the marketplace, say, you know, this would be really good to do that. Or I wish it did that and then come up with some new product that will do another thing. You know, we're really in talk about overall trends in technology. We've just about completed the transition of taking analog products, whether it's radio, television, cameras, video, and converting it from analog to digital. Now what we're doing is putting digital technology and sensors and wireless technology on just about everything in this Internet of Things or Internet of Everything.
Speaking, we're talking about solar panels. You have a device that's a solar panel or solar panel charger.
It's a charger.
It's a charger. Okay.
It's also from a company with the best name.
Waka Waka.
Waka
right?
Waka. Yeah. Waka Waka. This is a little yellow device.
I always think of Fozzie Bear when I hear that.
I know. It is. I wonder if Fozzie gets any residuals.
Any royalties.
On this. Yeah. This one's a nice bright yellow. But the thing about this is the back of it, and again, it's about the size of a well, it's smaller than a cell phone, but the back of it are little solar panels. Then it opens up. This actually doubles as a flashlight, too. You leave it out in the sun, and then in a full day, it'll get a full charge, enough to charge a smartphone in about 2 hours, 2 to 4 hours, depending on the phone, a full charge. You just plug it right in. It's got a USB port on the side, so you'd plug your device into this, and you've got this nice backup charger to take with you that recharges itself whenever you get some sunlight. So, and it's only about $80 or so. You know, charging stuff up, keeping charges, as anybody with children, but most of us know that, you know, you're out there for a good long time. You want to, you know, keeping your devices charged is really important. And I know with my girls, they always seem to be, oh, I have no bars left. I'm just about out of power, you know. So this is a good way to have something you can throw in a pocket or purse and have that backup using the sun as the source of power.
Yeah, some of the early versions of solar chargers were not
as quite as good. Yeah, well, this one is really good. Yeah, and you know, this company, Waka Waka, also has bigger ones, you know, panels that are the size of a notebook, for instance, that fold out. So it would be like 8 by 10 by 10 by 10 that you could use if you're out camping or hiking or just as a backup to have in your home in case you run out of power to get some devices charged and so forth. You can go ahead and use that. So they have bigger ones as well. That'd probably be about $200 or something like that.
Now, you're wearing around your neck a pair of Bluetooth headphones.
Yeah.
Is that a Sony product?
These are from Sony, and there's lots of wireless Bluetooth headphones and speakers. I think that's going to be a huge holiday gift this year again. A couple of neat things about this is kind of you just drape this around your neck, and then they're very nice little earbuds on cords, so you're not going to lose them. And they come with a nice bright green and a nice case. But these are also capable of high-res audio. Some of your listeners may know about high-res audio. This is really for the folks who are still upset that when we went from vinyl LPs to yes. CDs and then to streaming music, and it's true, to compress that music, they took out some of the one, turning it into ones and zeros. They didn't really have enough to give you the real high fidelity. Now you do. So what this high-res audio does is puts that back in. So you can get streaming services. You can get CDs now. You have amplifiers that do this high-res audio. And these are headphones that are capable of that. Again, you have to have the source has to be that. But it's really for the guys primarily, but guys and gals who want to hear what the musicians or the artists had originally thought in a studio or in a performance, this is the way it should sound. This gets much closer to that than your normal CD or MP3.
So it's for people my age who complain that nothing sounds as good as an LP.
I know,
yeah.
Exactly. And for those of you who can really discriminate, you know, a discriminating listener who can really tell that difference, there's also some of us who were in the artillery for a couple of years for whom that's kind of lost on us.
Sony also has wireless speakers, too.
They have wireless speakers, too. Yeah, they have a nice Bluetooth speaker as well. They have a couple of them, and they're not the only ones. Just about anybody that's in this marketplace now in the speaker business has these wireless Bluetooth speakers. Some of them, a lot of them actually, are waterproof, so you can use them and not worry if you get rained on if you're out on the deck or out at the out in the summertime. Very, very cool.
Now, you also we were talking earlier about how smartphones are one of the top mm-hmm. gift items for the holiday season.
Yeah.
You brought with you a smartphone. What's that one?
This one is the X10 from HTC. This is a nice, really nice phone. I really like this one. It's a nice form factor. And one interesting thing about this, I was talking about high-res audio. This also has the capability of receiving and delivering high-res audio. So you could hook this up, again, wireless Bluetooth, with these speakers or these earbuds from Sony. And then if you get some high-res audio, you can download it and you can listen to it and you get that really terrific music that you would definitely appreciate.
My older ears would actually appreciate
and
enjoy.
And again, this one has super cameras on it. It's a really nice form factor. You know, the smartphone, it's just 10 years. When you think about it, the iPhone was introduced in 07, so just 10 years ago. And before that, you had smartphones that in Boston, we might say they were smart, but they weren't wicked smart. They didn't quite have do everything that once the apps came out after this, about a year after the iPhone was introduced, and then it really blossomed, and then all the Android phones that we have now. It's the single most transformative product, I think, in consumer electronics and consumer technology is the smartphone. We know there's some issues right now, and when you think about it, it's really not a phone issue. It's a battery issue.
Right, Samsung's problem that they're having.
Samsung's with the lithium-ion batteries, and we've seen that with other devices also with some lithium-ion batteries. If you think about it, that is really an outlier, unusual. There are literally billions of lithium-ion batteries in use every day. Most of the people listening to us are using a lithium-ion battery, if not while they're listening, sometime during the day. So it's unusual for that problem. It's unfortunate for our friends at Samsung. They did the right thing initially, recalled them all. Looks like there might be an ongoing problem, but they've just now said, you know, they're going to bite the bullet, which is a couple of billion-dollar bullet. I mean, this is a big, big loss.
Yeah. As far as trends and smartphones, it seems like that you started big, then you got small, and now we've gone back to the big trend. And what direction are we going as far as those things? Seems like they're trying to pack more and more into less and less space.
I don't think we're going to get bigger. You know, we got bigger so that now they're pushing up against the smaller tablets. You know, you have 7-inch tablets, the most, either the smaller iPads or the Fires from Amazon. So I don't think they're going to get bigger. I think the next step will not be necessarily smaller. It'll be just no phone, you know. Maybe it is the wearables, like the watch. You know, there are some watches already, but not a lot of them, that you don't have to have the phone with you. So you could wear that on your wrist. The other challenge for the folks making that is a lot of the young folks have never worn a wristwatch. You know, they didn't need a wristwatch. For those of us of a certain age, it was part of growing up. Maybe you got one for graduation. Maybe if you were really fortunate, grandpa's or dad's was passed along, the wristwatches. That's not really kind of gone away. So I think the next step will be just not having what we even know as a phone, but some other devices that we'll be able to use without carrying that around. And I think the other part of that is what we were talking about earlier, is the voice recognition and the virtual reality kind of aspects to it.
This one, I think, is really cool. The Intel Compute Stick that you brought with you. This I just find to be so amazing. Tell us about that, Jim.
Well, it's about the size of a little package of gum, maybe, and it has a connector on it that's a HDMI. That's the high-definition connector that you'd plug into any monitor or television set. The idea about the Intel Compute Stick is that it's a complete computer. Well, depending on which one you get, and they range from 100 to about 500 bucks, different processors, the Intel Core M, I think it is now, 7 or 8, they're up to 7th or 8th generation of that. You can plug that into any monitor, as I said. You get a spectacular picture right off the bat and resolution because it's using that high-definition monitor. And then,
so you can use this with a projector as long as it has that HDMI connection?
Yeah. Okay. And actually, you could get a little translator that would switch it, the HDMI, to any other kind of input. So you do that, and then you can either use a virtual keyboard. You can download there's an app for that, too. You can download an app that will give you a virtual keyboard, and then you've got a computer. Wherever you are, you've got a really serious, powerful computer with Intel processors, as long as you have a monitor to plug it into.
So
really cool.
So this is actually, it's a central processing unit.
Exactly. It's you know, again, you hear the comparison is made often that most of us now are, if we have a smartphone, we are carrying around in our pocket more computing power than it took them to get to the moon in 1969. And we've heard that before, and it's true. And much more than that in this little stick of chewing gum, you know, size of compute stick. Really, really cool.
And what's the price range on that?
Ranges from about 100 to 500 or 600 bucks, again, depending on which one you get and how much power and memory and all the rest of that kind of stuff is in it.
Jim, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
My pleasure. Always nice to be with you.
The Consumer Technology Association's digital answer man, Jim Berry. And we didn't get to all the products that he brought with him today, but we do have links to everything on our website, wvxu.org, so you can take a look at that. And on tomorrow's show, we're going to be talking about technology issues as we discuss computer hacking and the growing need for cybersecurity. Coming up, how a group of high school students is working to help refugees in the Cincinnati area. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.